Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I hope that we have had a great morning this far, having a service that is really a service for the baby boomers and my generation, the way we sang this morning. And I want to talk through that. Help us how that works. Amen. I know the musicians moved out a little bit. Just a lot is happening this weekend. And so that has put a different spin on the worship this morning. But it's so good because I want to talk about generational relationships and how that functions. Does that make sense? So I'm happy that we had that service this morning. I really enjoyed it. And I want to explain how we can build a multi-generational church. Amen? It's important to understand how these things play so that we don't get caught up in the politics of them and us and they and us and how they think and we're different. We're one body of Christ. Does that make sense? When we understand that, we're going to begin to craft that. Now, let's understand that we're still crafting the family groups. Family groups are very healthy if they're connected with God first and with one another. Amen? And we're moving on to one another relationships. That can get tricky. We're going to keep working on that on Wednesdays as we build that so that we understand how those relationships really help each one thrive, flourish, and then God's name is glorified as we all grow. Does that make sense? So if you're visiting with us, we are a church that really want you to be with us, and we want you to feel at home. We work on just building a church that really is multi-race, multi-generational, and being one in the body of Christ. In Luke 1:50, the Bible says, He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. This was Mary's song. If you read the whole chapter, she's talking about how God has shown her mercy. She's carrying Jesus. And she says, you know what? He does, from generation to generation. And we sang many songs this morning about different generations. Today, I don't think we have GIs in this room, but we have most likely the people that are born in 1926. Anybody born in those days in the 1926? I'm sure you have parents of that age, though. There are people, parents of that age. Those people worshipped in a certain way. Does that make sense? But they passed on a faith to the baby boomers. All right? We'll see that in a moment. And then they passed on a faith to Generation X. All right? And then they passed on a faith to the millennials. And there's another generation with the teens that is coming up. It'll be figured out in a few years as the study continues. Does that make sense? Now, she sees that because from the time of Abraham all the way to her time, God was at work, working with that generation. The word of God was being passed on from one generation to another. And now Mary's in this place with Elizabeth. They're talking. And God is working in their life. And they see things that God is doing in their life. In other words, every generation can experience God in their own way. But the word and the word of God is the same. Amen. So understand that we all can experience God in your generation. It's the same word, but we need to understand how we can all build it together. Okay, hold on. Let's look at these generations a little bit. You see, the core values, let me explain things that can go wrong if we're not careful with generational building. This is the veterans, 1922, 1945, thereabout, okay? Core values, respect of authority, conform, and discipline. Baby boomers, 1946, 1964, optimistic, involved. So you can see how they'll be doing church. You understand that? They're very involved. They respect how things are working on the leadership role and all that. And these are things in the Bible. Generation X, 65 to 1980, we can be skeptical about stuff because of the things we saw, right? But God is not like that, but we can be skeptical and bring that in the congregation. We like fun, so that's good stuff we can bring on there. Informality. So things that are formal can get to you. And you got to understand that that's not necessarily of God. It's just a generational thing that you need to be aware of so that God guides you in the right direction. Does that make sense? Generation Y, which is the millennials, basically, realism, confidence, extreme fun, and social. You see that? So that is the millennials and how you operate there. Family values, if you look at traditional nuclear, baby boomers is when it disintegrated a little bit. Generation X, large key kids, because there was no trust, as you can see here, skepticism. So kids were put at home and locked, or you had a key around your neck, and you could go and open the place yourself. Generation Y, merged families. There's now more acceptance to merged families sometimes. That you may have another child here, but we eventually become one big family. And how that can affect church, does that make sense? If you're not careful, we can start judging one another on these lines instead of what the Bible says. Wow. You bring in your generational issues and say, what does the Bible say? And that begins to create conflict that is not of the Bible, it's of your generation. Yeah. It's not of the Bible. It's of your generation. And so you keep getting distracted and annoyed, but really it's a generational thing. It has nothing to do with what does the Bible say? If we just came to that, it'll work. Does that make sense? So that's what family would be like. And all the Bible lessons on this issue. So let's understand that education for the veterans was a dream. It was not easy to get an education back then. For the baby boomers, it was a birthright. Education was becoming normal. Generation X, well, it was there, but it was a way to get there. People got out of school, did something, eventually got back to school, then continued. You follow that? Exactly what I did. I was in school, did something, got out, did one other thing. I said, let me get another education. So it wasn't something to really push again and again. And then the millennials, here we are, an incredible expense. You're having a lot of debt getting out of school. Yeah, I mean, you get this debt as you come out of it is getting at you. And these are generational things. So I'm putting all this up so we understand when we talk of a multi-generational church, what are we going to deal with? Does that make sense? And then you have all this communication media. Let's talk about this for a while. You see, the veterans, I'm not sure even some people know what a rotary phone is. You know, that thing you put there. Not sure. What was that like? You know, I saw those phones. My dad had some of those, and I could make calls on those ones. So that's just... That's how they did, and it's one-on-one, and we wrote people, there was a memo written out, and was pinned on the public place, and in the office place, you go see the memo. That's how communication was done, right? So, baby boomers, touchstone phones, call me anytime. So, no particular, you can call me anytime, but you know, the phones came, that was pretty fancy back then, the touch phones, and you could call them anytime. Generation X, cell phones. We are the guys that like the new generation. We're coming out with them. Cell phones were big then. Cell phones, call me only at work. People started protecting themselves. Do you see how it changed from being very, we embraced relationship to wanting to know one another to, oh, okay, just call me at work. We started putting up fences. And that was happening. And then the millennials, internet, picture phones, that's how everybody communicates now. Here's a picture. We take a picture. Faces, this, that. A pose, this, that. The food, this, that, see what was eaten. The baby boomers are like, what? Why do you have to send us food and all that stuff? What are you talking about? Come on, man. What kind of poses? Like, why are you making faces? It's all faces. I mean, there's a musician that's playing a song that does stuff like that. Now, this is all we're trying to build a church with all this flying in our way of thinking, in our way of doing things. Does that make sense? So that communication aspect can be an issue. If you're not really an internet guy and there's so much email coming, you may not be seeing it. And people may think you're stubborn, but that's not just the way you grew up. So you look at it and like, man, why can't someone just talk to me? Make an announcement. Talk about it then. We will have it. And we're just always passing on all kind of things. So that's just a different way of dealing it. I mean, the other day I was trying to catch Larry, and I called him, and I couldn't get him. I left a message. So I said, do you have a phone? He says, oh, no, I don't. I said, oh, that's quite interesting. But I figured it's a different generation. We got to work with it. So when I see him, I talk to him. Dealing with money, this generation, the veterans would put money away and pay in cash. And the American went through very difficult times. the Great Depression and how they dealt with that. The wars, they built a lot. This is very, I mean, they call the Golden Age, or the people that really just did a lot. They built this nation. And then by now, the baby boomers, buy now, pay later. That's when the debt began to develop. We buy now, we're paying later. The debt started building up. Generation X, seeing this, cautious, conservative, safe, because they saw what was going on here, they reacted to this. So we tend to react to the next generation. A lot of the generational things we are doing is we're reacting to the generation before us. It's not of God, it's just we are reacting. Does that make sense? So conservative, that's us. We are always saving, saving, saving. Millennials, and then spend. Have a good time. You know, there's all kind of research going out there. We don't want to own a house. We just want to rent. And all these things are playing. Yeah, we're going to build a church that is based on the Word of God. So I say all these to keep you aware so that you're not stuck on your generation and understand what is God calling me to do. Amen? I'm not labeling you. I'm just making you aware that that's your generation. That's who you are. This is how you think. This is how you operate. But we're going to build a church that is based on the Word of God, and we'll take some of your generational things. Your music will be included in the worship. We will do all that. Today we really did a baby boomers worship. You follow that? That is how I just run. It's good singing, it's hearty singing, and not so much instrument, but that's just the way it runs. Does that make sense? Generation X will be at home with that as well, but we can put some instruments on it and other things will start coming across. So I say that so that every generation can start to seed space and allow all generations to be a part of the worship, part of what we're building, part of what we're trying to do. That is why we talk about this. So my first point is serve each other. You see, to build this church, we got to serve each other. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11. And scripture generally talks about how to walk with one another. That this is in verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Each one of us here has a gift from God. That you have something you can do. From his variety of gifts, use them well to serve one another. Use your skill, your abilities, your talents to serve one another. So the idea that you can just sit and hope the church changes and gets your generation, we need you bringing that generational thing into what the kingdom of God can be like. Amen? Whether it's singing, whether it's whatever it is, we'll look for ways you can do that. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. So that is generational. We can all do that, and we can get different generations to do that. The baby boomers, the Generation X, and all the millennials, and all the others that can be put in this. Let's get you speaking, doing something somewhere, if you feel like God can use you in that area. Amen? Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. We've got to come to the table and say, how can I help? How can God use me with my skills? It's easy to come to church and just sit. But that's not church. God is calling us. If you read the whole chapter, God wants us to use our skills serving one another. The idea that you just come and sit, it's not. And there are many things we can do together. Many facets. Some of them can be your ideas. Does that make sense? So we have to find these things as needs grow and the things that we can do together. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. It's amazing when all generations come together, serving one another, singing together, worshiping together, doing stuff together that caters for all generations. And God's name is glorified, and not spend time bickering on how this generation is like this. It doesn't help. Rather, we must now begin to grasp what would work for all generation. Now, here's a caveat. The older generation always has to give more to the younger generation. Because you model, you lead, but you also help them understand God at their level. Amen? So that's always what happens. It's always doing more to give what's going on in the other direction. And it's always good the younger generation to keep learning and putting on what's unique to them so that it's vibrant, dynamic, and it's great, whether it's a family group, whether it's church, whether it's whatever it is that we're doing, it becomes great. So I went to first down there. So here we are. Use your talents to serve God. It can be speaking. We can do that in family groups. We can do that on a Sunday. I'm hoping that at the end of this month or the last Sunday, we can have a campus Sunday. Is that right, John? Yeah, we can have a campus Sunday at the end of this month so that we just see how does the campus runners, how will that look like when the campus does a lot of that stuff? Now, I know you don't have the musicians, so you'll have more musicians helping you. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we can do together, and you can put your ideas up front and see how that goes, okay? Singing. What kind of songs do you love to sing? Let's hear that. Bring them up as well. Suggest those songs to the people that do songs. Bring that up and say, so we can put one song, two songs for you guys as well. Does that make sense? Don't sit back there and complain. They don't sing my songs, but you don't say anything to the song leaders. Step forward and tell someone, listen, sing this song. It's a great song. Why? It's for my generation. You follow that? Help them to sing that song. Don't just hold back and complain. They don't sing my song. They don't do this. Bring about the stuff you want. Bring them over. We're going to do, we can walk with that. Does that make sense? What about serving? There's so many ways of serving. We need to improve whatever we need, IT work. There are some people here that are very good with computers. Help us with that. How can we improve our graphics and all that stuff? What about our website? There's so much we can do with our website. Improve on that. Make it dynamic, more interactive. Have people speak into the website. Stories. Nancy's writing all newsletters and how we can take that and build much more. Dreaming so that God can use that. Our children, there's so much we can serve with our children in our family groups. What can you do and how can you serve them? Different things that we can do together. Whether it's playing an instrument, that's a talent, drums, guitar, all that stuff. I like Melvin, but there's a lot of you that can help him as well. Because when he's tired, nobody comes to play sometimes. So come on up and help him out and let's see what happens. I like Fred, but we need more guys playing music. Does that make sense? And I like Peter, but I want to see some more young guys say, so can you come and sing as well and help out Peter when he's feeling like, I need to take a break today. All right. So the idea is not to sweep any other generation away. The idea is to walk together. Does that make sense? Okay. As we build our multi-generational service, the other thing we must do is to live in harmony. It's crucial to build a harmony within the congregation as we're doing that, a healthy harmony, which is Romans 14, 12 to 13. It says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let us stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Sometimes we major in small matters. So we just fight over those small matters. We're just fighting over this. It becomes a stumbling block. It's done this way, it's done that way. What about the bigger picture of being united, understanding generational differences and how we can work that together? It's our strength. It is our strength. The fact that we sit here this morning, we have grandfathers, we have fathers, we have great-grandchildren over here. It's our strength to work together. So we have to make up our mind that will not be a stumbling block for each other, but rather enable each other to do well. As young people, let us interact. Don't be afraid of the older generation. Let's talk together. And as older people, let's talk to our young children. Why? God has put us together so that we can pass on the knowledge and learn from one another so that we can build God's kingdom together. The idea that I can talk to a young guy or the old man can talk to, it doesn't work. That's not God's way. He talks to everyone. Does that make sense? So let us learn to walk this together. And the NIV says, so then each of you will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment. Let us stop passing judgment on each other. You know, you watch TV, they're making fun of different generations. And they have terminology. You know, you are a native digital guy or immigration digital guy and all kind. And all that is just judgment all over the place. But can we work together? And so therefore, let us stop judging one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. That is the whole idea of a multi-generation congregation. It's not stumbling, it's how can we empower to make sure that everybody is doing well. It'll take time because there's work to be done, whether it's singing, whether it's how we lead, whether it's different things. It'll take time and developing. And there's a lot of training and teaching to be done for that to happen. But we all have to be open to that and start getting involved. Amen? Amen? So when we do that, our family groups do better. When we do that, when we do family discussions, we will remember we have teens there and think about how can we have this discussion that engages teens? Does that make sense? You'll want to learn from them. You'll want to hear from them. Instead of putting them down, you'll want to understand how do you think? How do you see the world? Does that make sense? Instead of saying they're selfish, no. Try and figure out why are they the way they are. Does that make sense? We are individuals shaped by our historical past. And that shapes our view of the world. But Christ calls us to be one. And we can do that together if we put our hearts to it. Amen? So, stumbling blocks can come through our mindset. You can have a mindset of nothing good can come out of the millennials. Nothing good can come out of the baby boomers. Nothing good can come out of the Generation X. And when you're in that mindset, then after a while, that mindset permeates everything you see in them. You know when you have a negative attitude about someone, you start seeing everything about them that is wrong.
That's true.
And when you like someone, you've seen nothing wrong about that person. They are an angel. Same people. You just see everything good about them. When people tell you, are you sure you can marry this person? Yeah, I'm sure. Are you sure about it? Yes. And that's the nature of the view that can happen to you. If you view it properly, everything happens. If you view it wrongly, everything is wrong with that person. We've got to be godly about how we view people. Our mindset needs to be in the right place. So that let's not judge, put each other down. Let's see what God can do. Because if we change our mindset, Philippians 4:8, we think whatever is true, noble, lovely, these things can be done. Amen? Style. Style is just, we'll have different style. Today we had a style of a cappella singing, right? I think the words were powerful. It was exciting. Does that make sense? But it's just a style. Then we're going to come on to generation, that was boomers and X. And X can sometimes do a bit of different music, genres of music. Rock and roll and country and all kind of stuff. We can play that. Then we move on to the millennials. You have a different singing style. It's deep, not deep words. Not necessarily so much instruments, but very deep. Does that make sense? We all need to bring that and put it together. And synergize that congregation. Imagine how service will be in the morning when we put all that together. So, and if you're in that service, you will not say, you will not keep quiet and say, I will not sing until they sing my song. You'll be singing the baby boomer song with great joy, amen? You will sing the song with Generation X with great joy. When the millennial song comes, you'll sing with great joy. You don't say, I will not sing until they sing my song. So that's, you get caught up in the style issues. You have to enjoy the whole generational thing coming up and connecting to that. Does that make sense? And as we do that, we all bring together. I pray for the day when we have sufficient baptized disciples, disciple teens. We want to have a teen service someday. Amen? Amen? But yeah, we love you all and we hope that you make that decision. And that's all, what I described a bit as attitude. You know, the attitude, when you looked at the chart I was showing about the generations, they're very different attitudes when it comes to money, when it comes to saving, when it comes to families. Very different attitudes. But when God calls us in his family of God, he wants us to have an attitude of giving our hearts to him. It's not an attitude of this is my generation, that's your generation. It's I've got to give my heart to God. It doesn't matter what generation. And I want to give my best to it. When I came to church the first time, and I got there, and I came from a very quiet setup. I came from a Quaker background. So I walk into church and people are whistling and singing and talking. And I said, these people are ungodly. What's going on? They're singing. When the preacher is preaching, they say, preach it. I'm like, hold on. They're disrupting the preacher right now. My attitude was very much guided with where I came from. But as I made progress to understand how was worship, and I looked at the Bible,
I was very accepting and less irritated with what was going on. And so it's very important you understand that. And let's throw another thing here. There's a race thing that we worship a bit differently with different races. And we have to build that as well. We have to be cognizant of the fact that different races worship differently, culturally. But we are put on earth by God, who knows that we can do it together. Amen? Amen. So the idea of being stuck in my race and my culture, amen, we're going to hybrid it and make it a godly culture. Amen. Does that make sense? And it's a different race in every way. We're going to get all kind of worship coming in here. And that's why sing along, even if it's not a song, it can be Spanish, it can be country, it can be R&B. Sing along and have a good time. Does that make sense? That's all attitude. That's all attitude. If we get that right, we're going to come here and have a good time. So get perspective. You know, if we get all caught up in these stories of generation, culture, and you can run away from them, they're there, but if we get caught up in them, we'll lose the bigger picture, the bigger perspective, that when it's all said and done, when you're putting me 6 feet under or incriminated, whatever you will do, well, I've never decided what will happen to my body, but whatever that will be the case, what do you think I want you to say? What do you think you want people to say about your life when it comes to an end? Will all this stuff be a big issue? It's about heaven. It's about being right with God. We will do all that stuff, but the bigger picture is to get into heaven. The bigger picture is building a family of God that reflects God's heart, God's mindset, character. That is important. And this morning, as we sit here, we are multinational in terms of just people from different countries, different languages, though we speak English here. You have to understand that that's the bigger thing. So get perspective with your life. Because sometimes you're caught in such a small deal that the bigger deal is missed. And that is what we have to begin to understand. Get perspective to what are you trying to shoot for long term as you live your life. What is your goal? The Bible says here in 1 John 2:16, 17, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. The world has gift is offering. That's physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see. And pride in our achievement and possession. That's the world. I got this. I got that. I have nothing against about these things. Get them. What gets wrong is when they become the biggest thing. Because we lose perspective there. It's okay to have those stuff. Get the stuff. But get perspective as you get it. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away. You know, have you ever had a new shirt you like or new dress? What happens after 6 months? After a year? I mean, have you ever been into a new car? Right? The smell of a new car. It smells nice, right? What happens after a year? Research has proven that happiness is not a product of outside things, which the world tells you, you'd be happy if you only got this. In fact, research proves that your happiness can only go up 10% if you rely on the outside stuff. Everything else is inside out. It's whether you got the foundation of God and got yourself anchored in God in such a way that you are the fruit of God being in you begins to bring joy. It's not about what you have. You can have the same problem and be so joyful. That explains why you can look at people in a refugee camp and they're still smiling. And yet someone in Georgia, Atlanta,
has everything and they're sad. They may be eating pizza with their wife or spouse or friend, but they're not talking to one another. They're looking at the phone. Get perspective. We need to spend time with one another. The idea that we cannot build a church that spends time with each other in family groups, get perspective. I think about it. You know, now I'm more than ever, because I feel like my life is, I'm on halftime. You know, you play the first half, it's over. We're playing the second half. I'm playing second half now, and I say, okay, second half, how are we going to play this game? Some of us are still playing first half, so you have no clue. You say, I have time. Don't kid yourself. The referee may blow you and call you sooner than you thought. Boop, come on over. Get perspective. You need to live your life in such a way that it's God-centered. It gives itself to God. And when you do that, you then lend your energy to the most important things towards that goal, which is God, which is other people, your family, and reaching out to other people as well, connecting to that. And yes, you're doing all this stuff, but you have perspective. Don't take each other for granted as spouses. You may not have it all together, but don't take each other for granted. Amen. Get perspective. If you're single, don't take church for granted and your friends for granted. If you're teen, don't take it for granted that life will just span out. Trust God and get involved with God. Amen. If you're visiting, don't take it for granted. Connect with God. Find out what His will is for you. You see, get perspective. If we don't get perspective, we get confused with the business of this world to the point where it's so busy that we tune out God. We'll have bad days, I can tell you that, but get perspective. There are days when things will not go right, but that is not the end of the world. It's one day in your 90-day years that you live here. You may have 1 year of bad living, or 2 years, 6 years, 8 years. But you might be around another, who knows how long. If we get perspective, we can start to joyfully give ourselves to God. Amen?
Amen.
I'll end by saying this. Please God, pleasing God is bigger than anything in anything the world offers. That's it. It's bigger than anything the world offers. God bless you.